Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets. Welcome tonight. We are going to look into the book of Amos. Right off the bat, tonight's question is, why did the northern kingdom of Israel lose its sovereignty? Was it simply because the northern, more prosperous kingdom broke away from the house of David and chose to worship a golden calf? On the surface, this seems like a pretty easy answer. That surely should be the answer to the question. But is it really? I suggest to you, no. The answer is far more nuanced and complex. To fully understand the answer, before I just give it to you out of the blue, we need to look more intimately at one significant king from the northern kingdom of Israel. King Jeroboam II is intricately linked to the destiny of Israel. Jeroboam II ruled Israel for an incredible 41 years, longer than any other king in Israel. In the years preceding Jeroboam's reign, Israel was plagued by turmoil and widespread oppression against the farmers, the workers, the impoverished, pretty much everyone, as you'll hear in God's own words. If the people had adhered to the original covenant at Sinai, such oppression and poverty would have been eradicated by now. We're looking at a number of years, over 400 years after the people from Egypt have been settled into the land and the kingdom of David or the house of David has been set up as a king. So this is quite a bit of time. There's really no reason, if they were following Torah, that Israel, the northern kingdom, would be suffering with heavy oppression against the farmers, the workers, and the impoverished. So, to set the stage, because of these problems, Adonai raised up Jeroboam II. From 2 Kings 14, verse 26 through 27, we read, "For Adonai saw that the affliction of Israel was very bitter and spared no one, whether bond or free, nor was there a helper for Israel. But Adonai did not say he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven. So he delivered them by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Joash." Under Jonah's spiritual counsel, Jeroboam recovered every mile of land taken by Moab, and they continued on and they conquered the land of Syria, including Damascus. Jeroboam issued in a new era of prosperity for the wealthy. Phoenician traders brought in many luxury items. With these came the many gods of foreign nations. Now, in addition to worshiping the golden calf at Bethel, there were new and some old gods, including Baal and Ashtoreth. We have talked about them in previous studies. They are dominant gods in the land of Canaan. And at least Ashtoreth is still worshipped in part today. Although we don't consider it worship, we just know that she represents some of the legends that we see in our festivals, in particular Easter. Many traders and the priesthood became wealthy and imposed higher, impossible taxes and fees on the people. Farms and homes went into massive debt. Sometimes the broken people were forced to sell their clothes and even their children to pay off their debts. The rich became obscenely rich, and the poor were just a source of income for the wealthy, something that Adonai detests. The Torah contains mitzvahs that draw men closer to God, but it also incorporates three crucial elements that enable men to live in harmony. Messiah Yeshua warned the people who appeared to be righteous on the outside in the years leading up to the destruction of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. At that time, Judea was on a familiar path of destruction and enslavement, this time at the hands of the Romans. Yeshua cried out against the very same issues that caused the kingdoms of Israel and Judah to collapse. But before I read them, I want to warn you, beware of the modern and the ancient theologians and scholars who turn Yeshua's message into anti-establishment, anti-Jewish. This is nonsense. He did not create his own religion, and he gave all glory to the Father, never to himself. Messiah Yeshua was neither anti-establishment, I'm sorry, Messiah Yeshua was neither anti-establishment nor anti-Jewish. He was an ultra-Orthodox Jewish rabbi who called the people to return to the Torah and to the covenants. Yeshua, like the prophets before him, was sent by God to admonish those who had abandoned the Torah to return to the covenant relationship that is in the Torah. Let's listen to his words. This is from Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe mint and dill and cumin, yet you have neglected the weightier matters of Torah, justice and mercy and faithfulness. It is necessary to do these things without neglecting the others. If you read Matthew 23, it's like sitting at the feet of the prophets in the days of the Nevi'im, listening in as if you were sitting there live. It's Yeshua is speaking in astonishing detail. And yet those same crimes were what caused the northern kingdom and eventually Judah to also fall. What were they? Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Without these, no nation, kingdom, or country will prosper, and the people will be oppressed. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, because our Creator, who gave us his commandments, does not change. Though it appears Adonai is silent, especially today, he is not. He hears the tears at night. He hears the churning of hungry stomachs and parents and children. He hears the sound of our accounting when we go to the bank and we discover the bank account does not match the bills we have to pay this month. He sees the shoppers putting back items at the cash register because they know they don't have enough money to pay for everything in their cart. These four things erase poverty, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, combined with Torah. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness, combined with the Torah. These four things allow people to come to Him, come to God in praise and worship, giving thanks for all that God provides. These are what had disappeared from the northern kingdom of Israel. And this is the message of Jonah, Amos, Hosea, and Micah to the northern kingdom of Israel before they lost their kingdom. Because God is merciful, He does not always act quickly. One of His attributes is He is slow to anger. By sending His prophets, Adonai would now begin to plead His case with all of Israel, the people he calls his beautiful bride, gone astray. His desire was to get the kingdoms to return to him, not to take away the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom, or to take away the temple or to punish the people. His desire was to bring his beautiful bride back to worshiping him. When he spoke to his prophets, he was direct and he was crystal clear about the things needed to change. What were they? Treat all men and women justly, not favoring the rich. Show mercy to the less fortunate. Feed the poor. Don't cheat in business or to pump up profits. Be faithful in your promises and relationships with men and with God. Read and meditate on the Torah and keep the appointed times. As all of you know, in a marriage relationship or a business relationship, both people need to communicate to tear down any disagreements and to build, or in some cases, rebuild trust, which is a foundation of lasting love. When we read tonight and next week, listen for these messages when we read Amos. Now, before we start the reading, let's take a quick tour. Who was the prophet Amos? Amos lived in Tekoa in the kingdom of Judah, but clearly his trade took him across the borders of Israel and Judah into Damascus, Gaza, Tyrus, Ammon, and Moab. Amos describes himself as a sheep herder and a sycamore farmer, which would have given him the ability to see and hear firsthand the suffering of merchants, farmers, and the poor looking for scraps. He was in a unique position to be an eyewitness to the crimes against the people, and he was sent to speak on behalf of Adonai. The book of Amos is written during the reigns of Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, the second king of Israel. For those of you who are attending the study live, there is a flyer tonight, and you'll see the time periods listed. King Uzziah ruled in Judah, 788 to 750. King Jeroboam II, 790 to 750 BCE. The opening words of the book of Amos are actually extremely unique. It's only used three times by three prophets: Solomon, Jeremiah, and Amos. They are declarative statements, meaning the things that I write about, the injustices I see, I witnessed with my own eyes. So you'll see the words in the words of, and then the name of the prophet. Three prophets use that term: Solomon, Jeremiah, and Amos. Now, if you say, well, where did you see that with Solomon? What book did he write? In Hebrew, it's called Qohelet. We read it during Sukkot. In English, you know it as the Book of Ecclesiastes. Amos was a contemporary of Isaiah, Jonah, and Micah. He was fearless, as we will read, unafraid to challenge the corrupt priesthood of Israel. And his prophecies also point toward a future for his people well beyond the suffering and captivity that he was proclaiming. He knew that God is merciful and that he had planned a better future for his people. And now let us read part one of Amos, chapters 1 through 4.
Amos chapter 1. The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds from Tekoa, he perceived these words concerning Israel during the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and during the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. He said, Adonai roars from Zion. From Jerusalem he gives his voice. The shepherds' pastors mourn, and the top of Mount Carmel withers. Thus says Adonai, for three crimes of Damascus, even for four, I will not relent. For they threshed Gilead with iron threshing sledges. I will send fire into Hazael's palace. It will devour Ben-Hadad's citadels. I will break the Damascus gate bar and cut off the inhabitant from the valley of Avon, wielding Beth Eden's scepter. So the people of Aram will go into exile to Kir. Adonai has said it. Thus says Adonai, For three crimes of Gaza, even for four, I will not relent. For they exiled an entire population, given them over to Edom. So I will send fire on the wall of Gaza. It will devour its citadels. I will cut off Ashdod's inhabitant, wheeling Ashkelon's scepter. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the rest of the Philistines will perish. My Lord Adonai has said it. Thus says Adonai, for three crimes of Tyre, even for four, I will not relent. For they gave an entire population over to Edom and did not remember the covenant of brothers. I will send fire on the wall of Tyre. It will devour its citadels. Thus says Adonai, for three crimes of Edom, even for four, I will not relent. For he pursued his brother with a sword and stifled his compassion. For his anger tore continually, and he kept his wrath forever. So I will send fire in Teman. It will devour Bozrah's citadels. Thus says Adonai, for three crimes of the sons of Ammon, even for four, I will not relent. For they ripped open pregnant women of Gilead to expand their territory. I will kindle fire on Rabbah's wall, and it will devour its citadels amid shouting on a day of battle, with storm on a day of whirlwind. Their king will go into exile, he and his princes together. Thus Adonai has said. Chapter 2. Thus says Adonai, for three crimes of Moab, even for four, I will not relent. For he burned the bones of Edom's king to lime. So I will send fire upon Moab. It will devour Kiriath's citadels. Moab will die in an uproar, with a shout of alarm and the sound of the shofar. I will cut off the ruler from her midst and slay all her princes with him. Thus Adonai has said, as for Judah and Israel, thus says Adonai, for three crimes of Judah, even for four, I will not relent. For they despise Adonai's Torah and have not kept his statutes. Their lies have misled them, those their fathers walked after. So I will send fire upon Judah. It will devour Jerusalem's citadels. Thus says Adonai, for three crimes of Israel, even for four, I will not relent. For they sell the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. They trample the head of the poor into the dust of the earth and thwart the way of the humble. A man and his father go to the same girl to profane my holy name. Upon garments taken in pledge, they stretch out beside every altar and drink wine confiscated as fines in the house of their gods. I destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like cedars and as strong as oaks. Yes, I destroyed his fruit from above and his roots from beneath. It was I also who brought you up to the land of Egypt and led you 40 years in the wilderness to possess the Amorites' land. I raised the prophets from your sons and Nazarites from your young men. Is this not so, B'nai Yisrael, declares Adonai? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink, and you commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Behold, I will cause a tottering beneath you as a cart totters when full of sheaves. Then flight will fail for the swift, the mighty will not strengthen his power, the warrior will not save his life. The archer will not stand, the fleet-footed will not escape, the horseman will not save himself. The valiant among the warriors will flee naked in that day, declares Adonai.
Chapter 3. Hear this word that Adonai has spoken against you, B'nai Yisrael, against the whole family that I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, only you have I known from among all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they meet by appointment? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion growl from his den unless he has taken prey? Does a bird fall into a trap on the ground if it has no bait? Will a snare spring up from the ground without taking anything? If a shofar alarm sounds in a city, will people not tremble? If there is calamity in a city, has not Adonai caused it? For the Lord Adonai will do nothing unless he has revealed his counsel to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? My Lord Adonai has spoken. Who shall not prophesy? Proclaim on the citadels in Ashdod and the citadels in the land of Egypt. Assemble on Samaria's mountains. Behold, the great tumult within it, even the oppression within it. They do not know how to be honest, declares Adonai. Those who are saving up violence and destruction in their citadels. Therefore, thus says my Lord Adonai, an adversary will surround the land. He will bring down your strength. Your citadels will be plundered. Thus says Adonai, just as the shepherd snatches out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece from an ear, so will Bnei Yisrael dwelling in Samaria escape with the corner of a bed or a head of a couch. Hear and testify against the house of Jacob. It is the declaration of my Lord Adonai Elohei Tzevaot. For in a day I will punish Israel for the transgressions of Israel and attend to the altars of Bethel. The horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will also strike the winter house together with the summer house. The houses of ivory will perish, and great houses will be demolished. It is a declaration of Adonai. Chapter 4. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on Samaria's hill, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to their masters, bring so we may drink. My Lord Adonai has sworn by his holiness. Behold, days are coming upon you when he will drag you away with meat hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You will go out through breaches, each woman straight ahead, and you will be cast to Harmon. It is the declaration of Adonai. Come to Bethel and transgress in Gilead, multiply transgression. Every morning, bring your sacrifices and your tithes every 3 days. Offer up chametz as a thank offering. Call out about free will offerings. Boast about it. For so you love to do, B'nai Yisrael. It is the declaration of my Lord Adonai. So also, I myself have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet, you have not returned to me, declares Adonai. Also, I myself have withheld from you the rain. When 3 months remain to the harvest, I will cause it to rain on one city, while on another city I send no rain. One piece of ground would get rain, while the portion not rained on would wither. So two or three cities go staggering to one city to drink water, but would not be satisfied. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Adonai. I struck you with blight and mildew, your many gardens and vineyards, your fig trees and olive trees, the locust has devoured. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Adonai. I send among you a plague in the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword, with your chariot horses in captivity. I made the stench of your camp rise up even to your own nostrils. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Adonai. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You became like a firebrand snatched from a blaze. Yet you have not returned to me, declares Adonai. Therefore, here is what I will do to Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, Israel. For behold, he who forms mountains, who creates the wind, who declares his thoughts to man, who makes dawn out of darkness, who walks above the heights of the earth. His name is Adonai Elohei Tsevaot.
Thank you to all of those who've read tonight. Just so we know, next week we're going to increase the tension because Amos is going to go to Bethel, and this time he's going to confront the high priest in the same way that Yeshua went to the temple and he preached to the people. And the priests were standing nearby and not very happy. So there's going to be quite a bit of tension coming up in these next few chapters. Amos' messages were not well received by the wealthy, most vocally by the priesthood. Now, why the priesthood? Because the priesthood were often paid off. The people who could bring the best offerings, the people who could give the best, as he, you know, best tithes, obviously, they got the attention of the priesthood, whereas the poor people were ignored. They were oppressed. They were pushed to the brink of poverty. We'll delve into this major confrontation in the next week's session when we examine the clash between the high priest and Amos. That's all for tonight. Thank you all for listening. Join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us on our journey through Trei Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Tsevaot, in the day I will make my own special possession, so I will spare them, as one spares his son serving him. Malachi 3:16 through 17.